listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Do people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me. With your life
running like a red disease,
running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at Time for an Awakening.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you have a chance today to get all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can't do, will do. And I know the weather will be, no, I don't know that. Because the weather's just fickle. You know, climate change is real. So I don't know what the weather's going to be like from moment to moment to day to day. And nor does even the meteorologist. That's just how deep it is. But if it has to be done, if it has to be done, I know you'll get it done anyway, regardless. Unless, of course, it's a hurricane or, you know, tornado or man, I tell you, flooding, torrential downpours and flooding, serious snowstorm. I was talking to my grandson. He said, Babu, that's African for grandfather. He said, Babu, the sun ain't shone in over a week. No sun up in Milwaukee for over a week. Hey, just deal with it. Go outside anyway. Yeah. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network. And we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, you go to timeforanawakening.com. Click on podcasts, and right there at the top will be African Perspectives. Click on African Perspectives, and there will be programs that are dated and titled for your listening pleasure. And tell other friends and family to listen to this program. And I hope that you do. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays. Once again, my program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., on Monday evenings, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia, Brother Wahad from 6 to 8. Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And after that is Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesday, this evening from 8 to 10 is Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. on Thursdays. Then on Fridays, Esoteric Review with Sister Marcy Lee from 1 p.m. to 2. On Friday, immediately following African Perspectives, is Esoteric Review with Sister Marcy Lee. And then Friday evening, if it's 8 p.m. Friday evening, that's right, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, 8 p.m. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's Revive with Sister POC from 11 to 1. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Every Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it's the Warm Valentine Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We buy black,
That's right. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Products that are produced by us. And if you want to get those products ASAP, if you're in the Atlanta area, just go to the Greenbrier Mall, and they have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall, and those products will be right there for you, the laundry detergent, all the kind of products that We Buy Black has. I think I'm going to pull up their website and go over their website with you maybe, I don't know about Friday, maybe next week. Next week I'll do that. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans, where Brother Bomani Tayembe and Brother Bomani recently returned from a trip to Ghana. And if you want to know more about the trip, upcoming trips, and viewing some of the photos from previous trips, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to check out some videos of previous trips, go to youtube.com/Bomani2002. Or give the brother a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. If you go to his website, you will see that he has a trip in April, April 3rd to the 13th, going to Senegal and Gambia for $3,300. Then he's going back to Ghana for a repatriation to an investment tour, May 25th to June 5th for $3,700. He's going to South Africa. South African Roots and Culture Tour, November 20th to November 30th. That's also for $3,700. And then at the end of the year, again, he's going back to Ghana with the Repatriation Investment Tour, December 22nd to January 3rd, 2021, for $3,700. These are all-inclusive packages that include full accommodations, round-trip flights. Note, you can pay using our easy interest-free payment plans. Limited space available, so register and pay only a $400 deposit to reserve your trip of a lifetime to one of these four tours to the motherland that you definitely need to take. Africa for the Africans. Also, my good brother, Dr. Binoko, he is returning. He'll be returning next week, the 4th, from Senegal, Gambia, and Guinea-Bissau. An outstanding trip that Brother Binoko has put together. One of the highlights of the trip is visiting the radiocarbon dating laboratory of the Honorable Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop. And then in October, he's putting together a beautiful trip to Uganda and Rwanda. I mean, go to drbinoko.com and check out the photos of Uganda and Rwanda. Now, this trip is going to cost about $4,200. And it's from October 5th through the 16th. October 5th through the 16th. I know it'll be well worth it traveling with Dr. Binoko Rashidi. Shrine of the Black Madonna. Shrine of the Black Madonna located here in Atlanta. There's a number of Shrines of the Black Madonna in Detroit and Houston. And the one here in Atlanta, the store hours are Wednesday through Saturday from 12 to 7 and Sunday from 1 to 3. And they have everything. They got furniture, they got clothing, they got artwork, they got pictures, and most important, they have books. And if you're looking for a book and you can't find it, believe me, they'll order it and get it for you. They also have the Nagash red, black, and green shoes, Kwanzaa kits, candles, all of that. They have it all for you. They also have an African Holocaust Museum. And, of course, they have the African history class of Know Thyself, taught by my good brother Olatunji. And black history class, Know Thyself, every Saturday, free and open to the public, 1:30 to 3. In fact, I'm going to go this Saturday. I hope to go this Saturday. I've missed the last few. And see where he is in terms of the history piece. But of course, if you want to get that history because you can't attend, then you can always contact the Shrine of Black Madonna and get the multimedia library, which is now 7 terabytes of African enlightenment at your disposal at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. There's another bookstore that we promote, and that is Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, which is right next to the kiosk of We Buy Black. So if you're at kiosk, if you're at the kiosk of We Buy Black, turn left, turn right, turn your head around, and you'll see the Medu Bookstore right there in the Greenbrier Mall. They have books, postcards, greeting cards, all kinds of T-shirts and so forth. Give them a call at 404-346-3263, 404-346-3263. And, of course, my good brother, Gazimde Ajamu, the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, because you know why? There is light in the black dot. Give my brother a call. See if you have a book that you're looking for. If he doesn't, he'll get it for you. He also has the Nagas Red, Black, and Green Shoes and much more. That's my good brother, Gazimde Ajamu. And the number to call, 404-519-8107, 404-519-8107. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Us Lifting Us. Thursday night broadcast, tomorrow night broadcast at 9 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. The number to call to listen or participate is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. This Saturday, Akabin Institute. Why do I have this stuff right here? There we go. Akabin Institute, they're having a let me read this. Greetings, family. Thankfully, there are many Africans who are committed to building an African nation. However, we often do not realize that to do so, we need to commit to building strong families that ideally start with couples who are committed to forming and sustaining marriage that will lead to having and rearing strong African children who we hope will repeat the process. Unfortunately, living here in the hells of North America, in the Western society, no matter if you live here, Europe, or anywhere else that Europeans are dominant, we often are not prepared or adequately assisted in doing this important work. Having seen this need, Sister Yah and Baba Baruti have been married for almost 35 years and personally know the ongoing challenges of maintaining a marriage and have committed to sharing what they have learned through lectures, workshops, and annual conferences, many available on DVD format, along with books, complementarity notes, and one-on-one sessions with couples. But in keeping with this work, this Saturday, February 1st, the Barutis will host back-to-back workshops on relationships for adults and teens who should be preparing for their upcoming roles of manhood and womanhood. So this Saturday, the first is for brothers from 10 to 2 at Akabin Institute. The workshop is given by Baba Rudy. Discussions are preparing for relationships, selecting a compliment, sustaining a relationship, dating and marriage. And then from 3 to 7, the sisters. And this workshop is given by Sister Yaba Rudy, which is the same thing, preparing for relationships, selecting a compliment, committing to a compliment, and sustaining a relationship. These things are done. And if you wanted to give them a call, there is a registration link, but if you want to give them a call, 404-753-7237. That is 404-753-7237. Akabin Institute. Akabin Institute. Brother Yah, Sister Yah Baruti and Baba Baruti have been having this institute over 15 years now, I understand. And they get no help from outside our community and receive none, and because they don't want none. They want us to help support an institution that we must build, that nobody can dictate or tell us how to run it. It is ours. They need support. Akabin Institute. Send check money order to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. That is Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. But if you want to use Cash App or PayPal, please do that. $YAA, the letter M, and the last name. Their last name is Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. Cash App or PayPal. You can put an ongoing payment in that way. Sanjay Dash Haiti, Sister Gabby Arrero, Sister Gabby Gabrielle, she's in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti, doing outstanding work. Please go to the website, Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org, and see the outstanding work that she is doing, that she needs to be supported. Sanjay dash Haiti. Black Talk Radio Project. The Black Talk Radio Project, the fund is ongoing. That's Black Talk Radio Network. Go to blacktalkradionetwork.com. Scroll down, or you can hit the link for Black Talk Radio Network Project Media Fund, or you can just scroll down and hit the donation button. Believe me, I'm honored to be on Black Talk Radio Network, honored to be with all the other radio programs on Black Talk Radio Network, and it needs to grow. It needs to be strengthened, and it needs money, just like everything else, y'all. I mean, I'm going to be doing the same thing, because I'm trying to do some expansion of this program, try to advertise. And if I advertise on another program, I got to pay them. I haven't asked the people I make announcements for. I'm going to do that and see what they choose to do. But we need to grow this idea. Now, I'm not trying to make a damn dime. I'm trying to disseminate information. I'm trying to put something on our minds. I'm trying to release the vice grip that the European has on our minds. That is my quest. One of the things that helped me do it, that's right, brothers and sisters, the Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought, because every day on this program, you get the opportunity to listen to some outstanding contributors, quotes that they have, and then Baba Baruti's narrative to those quotes, and even my commentary to those quotes. January 28th. The struggle can make the strongest among us weary. We will fight because we must, but our effectiveness must be fed by new thinking and our ability to see a light at the end of the tunnel. Kofi Adye. It is time for a new vanguard, a new, conscious, self-defined, self-determined, Asafo warrior class, guided by a collectiveness of fearless, seasoned, wise Jagnuks. Of course, you know, Jagnuks is a word that we should use as opposed to mentor. We should not use the word mentor. In fact, when someone says that, hopefully it comes into your mind. Maybe you don't want to say nothing to that person, or even when you hear it, but in your mind, automatically, the word Jagna or Jagnak, because Jagnak is the word he's using here, is Jagnak, which is plural for Jagna. Because Jagna is J-E-J-G-N-A, Jagna, Jagnak. It is time for silent reflections, followed by quiet, determined, immediate action. Let me say that again. It is time for silent reflection, followed by quiet, determined, immediate action. Action. Revolutionary time is not limitless. Whether or not we believe Clarence Mumford's calculation that revolutions have a shelf life of one generation, 20 to 30 years, it is well worth serious consideration. We should know that time is always short for the underdog. It becomes even shorter for the underdog's children when their parents did not do their revolutionary work. Affirm. Every day has one of a new consciousness, undefeatable vanguard. I act as if it's the last day I have to liberate African people. Oh, that's great. Affirm, every day has one of a new, conscious, undefeatable vanguard. I act as if it is the last day I have to help liberate African people. Ashe, 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 oh. January 29th. Does not history deny the possibility of really civilizing and humanizing those who by nature are barbarians? Jetty Jimsu Jehudi, Dr. Jacob Carruthers, Baba Jetty. This is an Akan proverb which says, illness of genetic origin cannot be cured. When a peculiar or particular type of thought and behavior is found to exist among people throughout their existence on this planet, then we can see the roots, trunk, branch, and leaves are all marked with the same peculiar qualities and characteristics of whatever variable is being studied. And we can say that such a thought and behavior naturally reflect those people's cultural or genocultural personality. And to be sure, personality traits run in families the same as physical conditions, diseases, and appearances. In fact, science, not limited to the European lab, tells us that these qualities are often so deeply intertwined that distinctions are not always as real as they may seem. The same is true with culture. Culture is a family. It cannot exist apart from the group which sustains it. Therefore, significant parts of cultural framework, the embedded cultural acele, the seed, are congenital to the individuals who make up the people who created a given culture, who evolved as one with it, and who continue to give it life, all of whom are the same. Those who exit are not different from those from their ancestors. Those who exist now are not less than the culmination of all the family members who came before them. They are the living practitioners and defenders of their cultural inheritance. Insanity is congenially European. Insanity is congenially European. Affirm, I have my ancestors' sanity because we are one. I have my ancestors' sanity because we are one. Because if you don't, you are insane. The Inye Sesem. Daily revolutionary thought. I tell you, love the Inye Sesem. Love the chance to read these and to speak on these. I do. I really do. Yeah. And so we have a few more days left for January. Then we can get off to some other things. Before I get off into what I want to talk about today, and of course, the Kobe Bryant situation is evolving. The tributes are evolving. Theories are evolving. One of the theories, of course, one says, well, Brother Oshie, you believe in conspiracies. You're damn right I do. You're damn right I believe in conspiracy theories. When you have a society like this, when the truth comes out, the United States government knew December 7th, 1941, that the Japanese were going to attack Pearl Harbor. They knew it. And you know, in fact, I can't wait to 2021. Hell, they might shoot and kill my ass. I don't care because I'm going to really be blasting. I might blast the 9/11 hoax for what it is. Hell, maybe the whole month, not just September 11th, because it's a damn shame. And we keep coming up with the damn charade. All this pomp and circumstance, all reading names and so forth. Like, and then, of course, condemning of people who never did it. When all the information is there. I can't wait till next year because my title of the program is Who Are You Gonna Believe? Instead of my previous title, I'm gonna have Who Are You Gonna Believe? Me or your lying eyes? Because the government wants you to believe them, not your lying eyes, not that what you see is the truth. That's what they want you to believe. You know, many times this government and this society murders people for a number of reasons. The government, yes, the United States government in clandestine operations of its on its citizens and elsewhere definitely devoid of regime changes and talking about involvement in other people's election and get all hell bent out of shape when somebody from being involved in theirs. And even when the president of this United States, the asshole that he is, trying to get exact in regime changes around the world. You know, when you understand what happened in, on the continent with America's involvement. When I talk to my good friend, and you'll hear from him soon when he gets back from Venezuela, and that's Brother Paul Pumphrey talking about Haiti and other things. Very knowledgeable brother. I'm very impressed and love to, you know, call him a colleague and so forth. And so, I mean, a lot of times we just don't want to believe because we've been trained not to. Now, there's a piece on going around now talking about the control that, according to court documents obtained by the BLAST, I'm not sure who the BLAST is, the United States Patent and Trademark Office has shut down Kobe Bryant's attempt to wrap up the case against a high-tech pharmaceutical company. Bryant has been battling the pharmaceutical company High-Tech Pharmaceuticals for years. High-Tech is attempting to trademark the name Black Mamba Hyper Rush. Bryant is fighting them, saying that they're ripping off his famous nickname, Black Mamba. And now it is believed, has Brother Umar Johnson, and I don't know if you've seen it yet, it's going around, saying that possibly that one of the propellers on the helicopter that Kobe had been using for years. And I don't know about you, but when I seen the helicopter going down, you could clearly, distinctly see it. It wasn't like there was a bunch of fog where you couldn't see it. Hell, and of course, fog or not, if you would have seen a fireball when it finally hit ground, you could definitely see that through a fog. But you seen the helicopter. You seen it take off. I've seen that. They showed it today on national news. So I'll get off more into that as it develops. It wouldn't surprise me if it did happen that way. And of course, an official explanation will come out that may not be satisfying, and definitely won't talk about that. They definitely won't come in that way. It'll be some mechanical error, and maybe even pilot error, or maybe the fog, because, you know, they kept pushing the fog thing, and the LAPD was not going to allow their helicopters out because of this fog. Didn't look like the helicopter hit anything as it was spiraling downward. The pilot of the copter could not control it. He could not ride it. It was destined to crash. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we have to think outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have placed upon us. Think outside, as a cliche goes, outside the box. Think independently. Think African-centeredly. Develop that kind of perspective. What's in a name? You know, I've had a number of programs where I talked about words and how, because, you know, people always talk like, yeah, words have meaning, you know. And every time I say that, you know, I think about Fathead Roland Martin, because he said it a number of times on his program, and yet he always referred to our ancestors as slaves and other stupid stuff that he has done, you know. So, but supposedly he went to Ghana and he had revelation, and now he's, you know, I don't know what he is, to be honest with you. I really don't. I don't know what. And I could care less, you know. Yeah, so the case against African American to describe U.S. black people. This is an opinion. This is Milton Hinton Jr. Milton Hinton Jr. is retired, has a director of equal opportunity for Gloucester County, Massachusetts. Gloucester County, Gloucester, Massachusetts. And he is past president of the Gloucester County branch of the NAACP, the National Association for Colored People. And he writes this opinion page that I'm going to read, and we're going to discuss. This was done a few days ago. It was posted a few days ago. The case against African American. I'm going to read it as he wrote it, the exact terms, the exact words, and because if you know me, African American, I don't use that. Because see, America is not to me the noun. Africa is the noun. African, we are African people. Africa is the noun. The word that goes in front of Africa is the word that describes the kind of African that you is. So we are American Africans. Oh, I know for many of our people, we do not want, just like him, don't want to be African. It's okay if we're black. Hell, for his ass, he might still be want to be colored or Negro. Because to me, anything that the European decides to name, because they're not white and we're not black. If anything that the European decides to name us, I reject. We have to come to a position that we reject all things European. To come into an African way. The racial or ethnic term African-American has always felt awkward to me. I dislike it for multiple reasons, but mostly because it makes no sense linguistically or descriptively. Its use only adds to the dilemma of black people in America attempting to seek a universal way to describe themselves. Up until recently, others have always labeled us, and we just went along. I was born in Elmer Hospital in Salem County, and my New Jersey birth certificate describes me as Negro male. The earliest slave traders doing business in West Africa were Portuguese and referred to their captives, I like that word, as Negroes, which in Portuguese means black. This was an obvious reference to their skin color. Apparently, their racial term stuck, gained further traction, and eventually was adopted by the U.S. Census Bureau. Then, the black culture movement hit like a tsunami. Short hair was out. Afros were in. And James Brown was saying it out loud. Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. There were actually black people on television and other general audience media, and I actually had a black teacher in high school. The Reverend Jesse Jackson then put his 2 cents into the mix after traveling to Africa and I suppose being filled with pride and a sense of connection, announced that colored, Negro, and black were out, and the new racial classification would be African American. Jackson has done a lot of good things for the nation. This, however, was not one of them. His intent may have been good, but the terms are erroneous. The term is erroneous. African American cannot describe a racial or ethnic group. African refers to a continent, and is a Western term for a person born in or from that continent. Africans who fit this description, once you get to know them, rarely describe themselves as African. Instead, they might be Nigerian, specifically Igbo or Yoruba, or another tribe. another word I hate. They might be Ghanaian, mostly descended from the Ashanti. South Africans might identify as Zulu, Pete, Shona, or one of many other groups. Many other African Americans are white. Let me repeat. Many other African Americans are white, since they meet the criteria of being born in Africa and now living in the United States. Being African does not necessarily describe skin color or physical characteristics. To be African American, British, African British, or African Indian. To be African American, African British, or African Indian, there must be a significant cultural component, which many black people in America, Britain, or Indian lack. Although I have educated myself as much as I could about African history and culture, most black men and women born in the United States are now far removed from Africa. Other than sharing some physical characteristics, most black Americans speak only English, while Africans often learn multiple languages and dialects in their youth. Most black Americans, even if their lives depended on it, could not name 10 African languages, tribes, or ethnic groups, or any other continent's musicians, playwrights, presidents, capital cities. Most of us will never visit Africa. I will go so far as to say that most black Americans have never read a book by an African author, which is one of the best ways to learn African history. Being African or African American means more than having similar physical characteristics. So, as we get closer to this, to its start, let's keep February as Black History Month. Being black men and women in America keeps us connected in a small way to black people all over the world, on every continent, and in countries from Brazil to China to Mexico. Black History Month encompasses a world history, not just an American experience, that all should be more familiar with. Milton Hinton Jr. from the Gloucester branch, the past president of the Gloucester branch of the NAACP. One of my favorite historians. You can join this conversation. What do you think? What do you think? Join our conversations at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. What do you think? One of my favorite African-centered scholars and historians, Dr. John Henry Clark, who I have one of the most, I mean, I love them all. I do. I love Carter G. Woodson, Francis, I love them all. But I have a deeper affection for Dr. John Henry Clark. I could sit and listen to him all day. In fact, I was listening to him, on the plane, somewhere. No, I was listening to him, me and with Brother Kwaku, we were traveling to Sister Marcy's mother's homegoing memorial, listening to Dr. John Henry Clark from the Great and Mighty Walk that was narrated by Wesley Snipes. Just to hear him talk.
This call is being recorded.
One of the things that Dr. Clark said, you must, when you talk about a people, you must conjure up land, history, and culture. Land, history, and culture. One of the things that the European has done to the world is impose their culture on other people to the extent that you mirror European culture. That is what has happened to us. And that is what has happened to the world, really, because that influence has been impacted on the world and caused many other cultures of the world to adopt what Europeans dictate, particularly Africans, and definitely Africans here in the Americas. So when you talk about American Africans, I say it that way because Africa is the noun. Africa is the noun. A noun describes a person, place, or thing. Black is an adjective. It's a color. Are there some Africans? There are no Caucasian Africans. I'm not down with that. Just because a Caucasian was born in Africa. It's just like the saying that Malcolm said, I'm an African, not because I was born in Africa, but because Africa was born in me. That is my mantra as well. If you know me, Brother Oshie, you know I love Africa. But my high yellow ass. I'm as black as damn it anybody, but not in color, but in consciousness, in mindset. And it's not being black. It's being African. It's being African. So the Caucasians who came into Africa and some were born there, they're not African. They're British. They're Dutch. They're German. They're Portuguese. They're Italian. They're French. They're not African. Oh, African went to Ireland. He was there for two generations. His children, are his children Irish? That's the menticide that Dr. Bobby Wright was talking about, how they messed up our minds. He used the analogy. Now, of course, you know, I always push his outstanding essay, Psychopathic Racial Personality. Please get it. Contact Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Contact a bookstore in your area if you don't have it. The Psychopathic Racial Personality. Another component he talks about is menticide. And when I had the opportunity to hear him, the first event when the Hyatt Regency Hotel opened in Milwaukee was a black political convention. Ron Daniels was there, a few others were there. But the highlight was the keynote speech at the banquet, Dr. Bobby Wright. And I remember him using an analogy. When you're watching the basketball game, you're watching the basketball between the Notre Dame University and whatever university. And the announcer on the television, they get a rebound, they rush it, because here come the Irish, here come the Irish. Five American African players on the floor, come on, here come the Irish. Menticide. When you rather be black than to connect yourself to a continent, because you basically saying, I don't want to be African. I don't want to be African. I want to be black. I'm ashamed of being African. I understand how some people may feel because of what happened and what is happening to Africans continuously being undermined, being taken advantage of. But every time I go on Facebook and I see some Africans who have done great things in spite of lack of resources and so forth, creating this and building that, just like I saw the brother teaching how to go online and code, all that kind of stuff, just not with a computer, on a blackboard, drawing the diagrams and explaining. Africans were the first humans on Earth. Africans. I reject any and everything Europeans have done to make Africans feel that they are not African, to make Africans disown their cultural heritage, and to say that we created something different. Or no, even worse, to say the European created, the European did this to us, and we are thankful. So I'm adamant against, being black. Because being black is what is opposite of being white. The Caucasian, there was no such thing as Caucasians calling themselves collectively white. Just like any other, they were talking about their countries. They were German, they were, you know, Spanish, and of course they warred amongst themselves, and they came out of that medieval dark age and said, hey, let's stop this. Let's go out and see what the world is like. And they went out, and then they looked at it, and then the encounters they had, rape of the indigenous women, and looking at the offspring not looking like them, as Dr. Francis Cress Welsing said, caused an innate fear in them of them being eliminated genetically. Genetic annihilation. And so they said, we're going to develop this idea of collective whiteness. And we will come together on any and everybody outside of us. We will protect each other in that way, that we must dominate and control everybody. And they began to go around the world and taking everybody's stuff. They didn't come to barter. They didn't come to trade. They came to take. They were thieves. They were murderers. They were supplanters. They were evil. They were rapists. The only real true forms. I mean, you know, the European Jew has used words like the word Holocaust. You think that when you hear that word, because it has become synonymous with European Jews and what they had experienced. And then the word genocide, same thing. If I say the word genocide and you are not historically informed of acts of genocide on various peoples and groups, but because you listen to Western news media and you listen to all talk. So if I say the word genocide, you will think of European Jews. If I say the word Holocaust, you'll think of European Jews, because you have been conditioned. You don't know, as the saying goes, the rest of the story, the rest of the history. We're going to take, well, no, we can't take a break because I, yeah, no, we're going to take a break. I'm going to come up with some music. We're going to play some music because we're going to take a break because I got to have a break. And I can put together, you know, some other stuff that I can do. Because we need to have a break. Yeah, we do. Sometimes a break is necessary. You know, so I'm gonna find something I can play here while I take a break and come back from the other side to continue this conversation. Because even though I've mentioned these things before, you know what needs to happen is that you need positive reinforcement. You know, you need to hear it again and again. Because sometimes you really don't hear it. You know. You really don't hear it. You think you do. You know, but you don't. You really don't hear what's being said and what's being done. So I'm going to try to find me some music on Zar Radio. And so we can have a break and then we can come back and discuss. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to take a phone call, then I'm going to go to break. 602, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, brother.
Ah, Brother Marcus, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, good brother.
Good.
Now, that man who write that article, he is a fool with a capital F. You know what I'm saying? They're still coming with this foolishness.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, come on, man. You know, in this 2020, we face this situation and he's coming with this confusion.
Right.
You know? But I know a lot of people like that, you know, they get confused between nationality and ethnicity.
Right.
Nationality and race.
Right.
I met some dummy Africans over there telling me, oh, you ain't African, you Caribbean.
Yeah,
One duck from... One duck from England. He's from Sierra Leone, but he lives in England right now. And he thinks that, oh, wow, this is England. That is, you know, he is,
mm-hmm.
He's in heaven telling me, oh, you ain't African, you Caribbean. You know?
Right.
I said, this guy is a duck. But yes, but
crazy.
You know, I don't even engage them because I get mad. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
African has to do with our ethnicity. Our physiognomy. See,
mm-hmm.
I mean, even myself, my great 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 grandfather was a white man.
Yeah, yeah.
My great 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 grandfather was from Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, my great 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 grandmother. To some people, a lot of my family, you know, I'm brown skin or whatever, but I have mm-hmm. family that's your complexion. But they are black people.
Yeah.
You know, so that's because of his bloodline. He put his bloodline in our bloodline by
mm-hmm.
force.
That's right.
So let's be honest and we, but that guy there, he is a duck with a capital D, I swear. I don't know where these people come from, man. And if he, let me know where the article is, I can contact him and blast him. Because we're in 2020. We don't need that.
No. And like I said, he just wrote this article and saying Jesse, and even Jesse didn't do that. I mean, Jesse was not the one to say he get to Africa. That's what we should be called. Oh, no, we exactly. did that because we identified with Africa. It wasn't Jesse.
Exactly. It wasn't Jesse.
No.
He came on the background.
Yes.
I mean, you know, he with the credit because he's on front page. So they say, oh, yeah, he, you know, but that guy, as I said, when I heard that article, I said, this guy is a real fool. You know,
yeah.
I swear.
Well, I had to, get it because when I saw it, I was like, wait a minute, this is 2020. And this guy wants to say, you know, we're not, it's almost to say, Brother Marcus, is that, we have been so detached to know we're something new. We're black in a response to being white. Because Europeans created the idea of being white to band them together and giving a definition of white being pure and honest and righteous and good. And then giving the definition of black being ugly, evil, and sullied. You see? And then we want to flip and say, well, okay, they're white, we're black. And see, and the other thing is this, many people who espouse themselves as being black don't want to be African. They want to be, unless they really don't know, they want to be white. But then the ideal is, I'm black, I'm cool, but I want the cars. Not African. They don't want to be, I want the cars, I want the jobs, I want to live in, because they're, mm-hmm. Here's a good example. There are gated communities here in this area of Atlanta, in the metropolitan area, which is over 4 million people, where there's nobody in that gated community or in that subdivision. Everybody's black. They got beautiful homes, manicured lawns, and I'm quite the inside of them are immaculate. They don't want to be white, but they ain't want to be African. They want the same lifestyle. They want the cars, the whole, and they relish. I bet you they're very happy to see all of these interracial couples on commercials. It is more and more. I don't know if you watch TV like that, but I'm talking about if you watch TV for 2 hours, I bet you any money, Brother Marcus, you'll see at least 7 to 10 commercials where there's an interracial couple or some American African child, you know, in the arms of some Caucasian mother or grandmother.
But you see, it is the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, you know, they don't want that, you know.
No.
It's the Jew who
right.
run the, it's the Jew who run the TV station.
Exactly.
The one that
it's the European Jews.
Yes.
The European
the
Jews.
That push, yes, and keep us here. They keep us here in America looking for our salvation here. Look, that guy needs to learn something about anthropology, you know, and land and people.
Right.
To know that
right.
every landmass has the people there. You go to China, you're going to find predominantly Chinese people.
Right.
You go to Europe, you're going to find predominantly European people.
Mm-hmm.
You come to this country before he came on the scene, you would find the red man. And they are connected to them to the Mexicans and connected to those people down in South America. You go to Africa, you find predominantly African people. But due to this white man going and doing what he did and disrupted us and brought us here, we got this scattered all over the planet, you know. And not talking about even the people in New Papua New Guinea. And Australia, who traveled here millions of years before the white people ever got here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that guy, he don't know nothing about history. He getting paid from the same Jew, NAACP. He get a check from them, you know, and they sponsor him to do foolishness like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I'm sick and tired of them, Brother Osi. They make my stomach sick.
I know.
They don't know nothing about history. Anyway, a good brother.
Yeah.
Take care.
All right. Keep listening, Marcus. I appreciate it, brother. Thank you so much, man. Yeah. All right. Peace to you. Yeah, brothers, we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we will continue this conversation, and I will once again try to help us understand words that are used in this language that we need to change, at least in our minds and how we use them, because of what those words do to our psyche. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
violets grow. Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things and what they used to be, no, no. Oil wasted on the oceans and upon our seas. Fish full of mercury. Underground and in the sky, animals and birds who live nearby are the night. Oh, mercy, mercy, mercy. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more we use from sand? Mercy, can't you stand?
Brothers and sisters, once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network. That was Mandrell, Fence Walk, 1972. Some of the best music, I tell you, along with the magnificent Marvin Gaye, Mercy, Mercy Me, and the album that he, oh man, I tell you, what great memory. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, African Perspectives right here. And then following African Perspectives on Friday is the Esoteric Review with Sister Marcy Lee from 1 to 2. Monday night, Acres of Diamonds public affair programming with Brother Wahad from 68, followed by Let's Buy Black 365. And after that is Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey at 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC on Wednesdays from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. And then on Friday, as I said, Esoteric Review at 1 p.m. And then Friday evening, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. on Friday. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m. on Sunday, Time for an Awakening, once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Every Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it's the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Getting back to the conversation, I really appreciate Brother Marcus lending support and understanding. Brother Marcus said, how can a guy write an article like this in this day and age? You know, because we've been so, you know, trained. We've been trained to hate who we are and want to be like others. Now, understand this. Even though the brothers who want to be black but don't want to be African, they don't know the mental side, the self-hatred that they are experiencing and wanting to believe that somehow the European, by disconnecting us, has somehow made us into what they want, a different Negro, a different colored person that hates being African. Hell, I remember one time we didn't want to call each other black. If you said somebody was black because of the negative connotation that the European had put on it, you were ready for a fight. And Lord knows the N-word. Now, you know I cuss. Hell, I've cussed on this damn radio program. But I've never used the N-word or the so-called B-word because I don't use those words to describe our people and to describe our women. I don't use it. And I'm saying, Brother Oshie has done it. Damn it, you can too. Train your mind. Train your mind. When you see a word that you know is not us, substitute that word that more reflects who we are. So automatically, if in the context of some sentence or paragraph or reading, and I see the word black that's supposed to describe us, I automatically put African. When I see the word slave, which this country, white folks, consistently put out there, we ain't been nothing but a damn slave, 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 slave. That we went over to Africa and brought back slaves. You didn't bring them back no damn slaves. You brought back human beings. You brought Africans and you turned them into servants. Because a slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master. We've never submitted. We fought on the continent. We fought in what is called the Middle Passage by some. We fought in this hemisphere. Over 400 recorded revolts of our people fight. We're not slaves. We're captives. And so when you use that word to describe our situation, you have a different meaning and a different visualization. We're captives. Because what does a captive want to do? It wants to get free. And we consistently tried to get free. Oh, I know we acquiesced on the plantation at times of time, strictly out of survival, knowing that if we didn't, we would be killed. But I give honor to those ancestors who fought. I also give honor to those ancestors who capitulated, at least to save themselves, not to the point that they were, snitches. Massa, they planning a revolt. They planning to run, Massa. Yeah, they trying to say they're going to run tonight. Hell no, nah, I ain't giving no props to that fool, him or her, whoever. But I understand the dynamics where we're in. Let me take a call. 646-646. Good afternoon, 646.
Oshie.
Yes.
Oshie. What's happening, black man?
What's happening, African?
hey, listen. There's a few words in my life that I said on a continuous basis, and then, you know, I had to change it up a little. And I'll just give you two. And they used to roll off my tongue so poetically. And one of them was cockazoid.
The cockazoid.
Yeah. I had to go to another one that was just as good, but I didn't last for long. Hunky.
Hunky. Okay.
And now,
yeah.
I'm trying not to use it as much.
Right. Well, that you very seldom hear that word.
There's another one, Oshie. One that I really find suiting and fitting, but some people take offense to it. These are words that sick you cry, brother.
Yeah, I hear you, Jay.
You know how poetic it is to say that beautiful word, cry. When you look them in the face and you eye to eye and you tell them, you no good filthy cracker.
Yeah. It's well, you know, some say the origin of that word is from the Caucasian cracking the whip on us. Here come the cracker. You know, he's the cracker. He's cracking that whip on us.
And you know he still got that same mentality.
Yeah.
He's a cracker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's like, he ain't stopped, cracking the whip. He just cracking in a different manner.
Exactly.
Exactly. It all evolved.
It's still, it's right. That's right.
The same principle is he hates the black man.
Yeah.
And for you to ever give him any reason to not hate your black behind just goes to show what your mentality is. You're always looking for the acceptance of this devil.
That's right. But you're trained. But see, Jay, you're trained.
The devil don't want you.
But see, we're trained to do that because they know if I keep you in that mindset, I got you. If I keep you chasing after me, that's why I'm telling you, man, you got to read Dr. Bobby Wright's outstanding essay, The Psychopathic Racial Personality. Huh?
I think you could get that essay free online.
You probably can. I know if you go to YouTube, Dr. Bobby Wright, you know, BobbyWright, Dr. Bobby Wright, and you can go to YouTube. You know, there's a number of things, and I know one of them is the reciting of Psychopathic Racial Personality. You know.
Oh yeah. That was, you know, that's right there on the line of the ISIS paper and any other psychological
point
that was put forward by our scholars. You know, man, there was a time, let's be honest, where some of the most poignant literature was coming out in regards to our psychosis in dealing with this Yoruba. And, you know, you could think about the great works of Amos Wilson. You could think about the works of Bobby Wright. You could also think about the works of Naeem Akbar, you know, and others. Today, to be honest with you, Oshi, I don't...
Hello, Jay?
Bobby Baroudi puts out the best.
Jay, I missed what you said. You got cut off. So, you know, you mentioned Naeem Akbar. I didn't hear anything after you mentioned Naeem Akbar.
What I was saying at that time, they were putting forward some of the greatest scholarly psychological work.
Yes, I agree.
You know,
I agree.
Now,
Jay, how long ago was that? That's 30 years ago.
Yeah, but listen to what I'm about to say. Today, as far as works go, but it's not really psychological work, Dr. Baba Baroudi puts out the best works right now. But as far as the works in regards to what Bobby Wright, Amos Wilson, Naeem, and some of the others was doing, I don't know who today is doing it. I don't know who's breaking down the psychology, the psychopathicness of this Yoruba. I don't know. And you know, I wonder, is there somebody out there who's doing it? Do you have anybody in mind?
I don't know. You know, I don't.
Now that's deep.
Yeah.
Think about that. Just think about that. It's our greatest period of dealing with this Yoruba from a psychological perspective was 20, 30 years ago. What the F done happened to us within these past 30 years if we haven't been given the therapy needed to understand and see this Yoruba for who and what he is? Think about why we in the condition that we in. Think about why we aren't developing on the level that we should be. There's a lot of...
Jay? Well, once you come back, hopefully. But what you asked me is, I think that the ruling class of American Africans who consistently believe that somehow, some way, that Europeans will share this country with us equitably, that they will treat us fairly and righteously, that we don't have to worry about nothing because all the laws that they've created apply to them and us equitably. You know, I always said that if the Caucasian was really righteous, he didn't need no amendments. There shouldn't have been nothing separate. It's a damn shame that even today they still talking about a damn Voting Rights Act. We need to recreate and then the Voting Rights Act under Obama, the Supreme Court made some changes there, causing the Voting Rights Act to be once again diluted. In fact, when I attended the march in Selma to commemorate the Voting Rights March 2015, I went to Selma. And in fact, prior to him becoming the chief of staff for Trump, Rance Priebus, which was very brief, he was the Republican Party chair, the state Republican Party chair of Wisconsin. And I was on a radio program with him. And I'm quite sure he don't remember me, and I could give less than a rat's ass about him. But here I'm seeing him coming down the Edmund Pettus Bridge with three young people, two American Africans and a Caucasian. And then when I mentioned his name, he was obviously taken aback because, you know, he didn't expect anybody here to mention his name, I guess. But one thing I told him, and the young men looking at, and the young people, the sister and the brother looking at them, you know, kind of look at their head, I said, you know, you shouldn't be here. This is just disingenuous of you and your party for what you have done to voting rights. And then, of course, we've seen that in the election in Florida, as well as right here in this state of Georgia, with voter suppression. So, you know, it gives, what happens is, there is a constant illusion that we fall for, which constantly derails us and detains us from seeking the liberation and the freedom that we need as African people to move ourselves forward. The problem is we want to be here. We want to be in America. If you go to the continent, I would venture to say, and as sad as it is, a good number, I'm not going to put an exact name, a word on that, a number on that, but I would say a good number, whatever that might be in your mind, want to be here in America. Those Africans would want to be here in America. And talking with my dear friend, Sister Asmira. Brother Jay, you with me again?
Yeah, sorry about that, Oshie, man. But no, what I was saying was, to think 30 years, we haven't had nobody from a psychological perspective continue the type of work of Amos, Naeem, and others. So how could you not expect us to be in the condition that we in right now?
I agree.
We're supposed to be at the point to where, as psychologically, the Shirugu can't touch us. Because everything that we've been going through and have gone through is supposed to be broken down to where, as we don't need the therapy. But for some reason, we haven't gotten to that point. Or I don't know what happened. I know what happened. I know the Yoruba put it into it, because what Amos was doing, what Naeem was doing, Bobby and the rest of them were doing, was breaking the chains of the Yoruba off of our minds.
Yes, that's
and
right.
If you really be honest about it, me and my boys were talking last night, and we were saying, it's amazing how people like Kobe Bryant and the rest of them become extremely rich and surround themselves, that I see, other than LeBron, with Yorugos.
Of course.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
I know, and I'm going to be straight up about this. I know a lot of the white people are mad at Kobe because of them seven Yorugos that died with him. But think about this on the flip side of it. here it is. This man had within his company and gave luxuries to you Rugals.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And let me tell you something, Ochi, excuse me. I don't want to allow them in my house. I don't want to be around them on that type of level. I don't really want to interact with them on that type of level. And when I do business with them, it's always from a distance. You know what I mean? But we don't see it that way. We think that we can only be successful is if we're surrounded by you Rugals. I was looking at an interview that he did, and they were showing his office. And do you know, in the office was only pictures of you Rugals.
Yeah. He wasn't that. See, let me say this.
Who he deemed to be the great mind.
Right.
The great thinkers.
Right.
The individual.
Exactly.
That
he was steeped in. He was steeped into European ideology, European philosophy. I mean, you know, his father, when he played in Italy, he learned to speak Italian. You know, he was born in Philly. He was truly born in Philly, and he came back to play at Lowell Marion High School in Philly. But he had that kind of exposure. And, of course, he married somebody who was not African, you know, and his children and his associations. No. In fact, hold on, Jay. In fact, you know, I love the Los Angeles Lakers. I've been a Laker fan. I mentioned that this past Monday's program since I was a young kid. I mean, a young kid. Elgin Baylor was my idol. I love the Lakers. And the kind of man that I am, if I get a team, that's my team, period. So the Mets, the Jets, and the Lakers are my team since I was a young man, since my youth. And I'm sticking to them, even though the Jets and Mets ain't, especially the Jets. But the Lakers have had those ups and downs that I love because they've treated me with some good memories, particularly with Magic and then with Kobe and Shaq and then with Kobe and that team that he played for. But outside of the game, I did not like Kobe Bryant. I did not like Kobe Bryant when he said, and I remember this, when LeBron and D. Wade chose to, you know, stand up to the situation that happened to Trayvon Martin. And then Kobe Bryant said, well, we shouldn't just support somebody simply because they're black or they're African American. We shouldn't support that. You know, well, later, and I understand that he was evolving, but still, because he did do something for the Martin family and then later the Brown family in Missouri, that situation. But still, his mindset was like, just like you said, Jay, you know, European. It reflected European. He was not African centered. He wasn't beast mode. He wasn't Marshawn Lynch, you know, who wears a red, black and green Africa around his neck, you know, and an African shirt and so forth. And then, goes out and provide housing for brothers and sisters in Haiti and so forth. He wasn't Marshawn Lynch. He wasn't African centered, you know, but he was evolving, you know. And so.
Yeah, but you know, Oshie, I agree with you totally. But the thing is, what's amazing is how white folks are basically able to control him. I mean,
of course.
I got issues with the guy. I'm not going to say that he wasn't a talented individual, that he wasn't, you know, a good-hearted individual. But it's just the way in which, unfortunately, to get to a certain position, you have to divorce yourself, in a sense, from your family and from your people. You know what I mean? And I think that that's what's so tragic when you really look at it and analyze it, that this Yorugu has that much influence and control over how you become and what you become as a person in regards to not only yourself, but your people. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because it's amazing, man. The cat, I didn't know the cat was as rich as they say he is.
Yeah.
I didn't know that he, you know, I knew he was doing some nice things. You know what I mean? And, you know, listen, I would never ever say that the guy was intelligent.
Well,
man.
Listen,
you know what I mean? It's a multiple level.
Yeah, because see, those last two contracts that he had were way out of whack for, you know, for an NBA player at the time, you know. And at least they had even mentioned that, particularly because he had suffered an Achilles injury and so forth. But, I mean, one thing for sure about Kobe Bryant as a basketball player, he was driven. He was truly driven. In fact,
Oshie, yeah. quiet as cap, he was a serious businessman.
Yeah.
Listen, he was rolling with cats, and this would bug me out was, he was rolling with cats where they had venture capital funds worth billions of dollars.
Right.
So he was getting part of all of the inside goodies.
No. Jay, let me finish. Because I agree with you. You're right. Because he was going to do a production. Many understood that he was going to be probably as just as great as he was on the basketball court in the latter part of his years, in the latter part of his life. He was going to do, in fact, what they were talking about him in production. I mean, he won the Academy Award for the documentary he did, the animated documentary he did on Dear Basketball. He was going to pilot all of that. And you know, hey, Jay, you know his daughter was going to be cold. His daughter was going to be cold. Gigi was going to be cold. She was definitely going to play.
Gonna make sure.
Yes. Yes.
But check this out. I don't know if you know. He was already setting up a trademarking situation for his daughter to start putting out products in regards to her as Mamba Sheikah or something like that.
Yeah,
Jay,
did you listen to the beginning of the program?
No, I came in 15 minutes late today.
Because, anytime, Jay, please, brother, anytime you join is always good. I'm just making reference to the point that, you know, I said, do I believe in conspiracy theories? You damn right I do. You know, and so there's one that's out there right now about Kobe. Okay. And so if you didn't hear this out for your benefit, just because, you know, I appreciate you, Jay. Just because I appreciate
you.
Brother. I'm a throw this one at you. There's one with Umar. And I know how you feel about Umar, huh?
I saw it.
You saw the one where he's talking about Kobe?
Yeah, man, I saw it.
Okay. Okay. And then there's also, there's also one, where another, brother sent me, and it's about, Kobe, has been in court against this pharmaceutical company, High Tech Pharmaceuticals. He's been in court battling it for years because High Tech Pharmaceuticals want to use this product and name it Black Mamba Hyper Rush. I don't know what the product is, but Kobe has been challenging because that's his nickname and he's been challenging him. So the thinking is that this company, this pharmaceutical company and whoever else was backing it, some may argue European Jews, who knows? I don't give a damn. But they sabotaged his copter. I mean, Jay, listen, they kept talking about fog. I seen the helicopter. They said this is Kobe's helicopter. I didn't see. Yeah, it was overcast, but you could see the damn helicopter. And you surely saw the helicopter when it was spinning downward and you seen it explode. There was no damn fog. There was nothing wrong. It didn't hit anything. It just fell out of the air. So one thinking, hold on, Jay. So one of the things that Umar Johnson is saying is that it was sabotage, that the helicopter's propeller might have been, you know, set to break off at a period of time. Who knows? All I'm saying is that, you know, the death. And of course, if you understand, and I know you do, Jay, and I hope our listeners as well. When you understand European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, it will sacrifice whoever they have to sacrifice. They can kill a whole bunch of Caucasians. Hell, look at Pearl Harbor. Hell, look at 9/11. Those are clear examples of this society to do what they feel they have to do to maintain their position of dominance and control and to capture the minds of the people to turn them against a particular enemy that they designate has that enemy. And that was, and even though Iraq didn't do it, they attacked Iraq. And even though there were some others they said that did it, and most of the men who did it were Saudi Arabians, which of course they had to sneak a Saudi Arabian official, no, a Bin Laden. A Bin Laden, if you remember, they had to sneak a Bin Laden family, some family members out of the U.S. at that time. So, you know, this is, we're dealing with a people who are evil. We're dealing with a people who will do any and everything possible to maintain their position of dominance and control. And the fact that they don't want to share shit. They don't want to do sugar, honey, iced tea as it relates to the human family in terms of coming together. They talk all that. They talk all that brotherhood. They talk about we are the world and hands across America and all that bush. It's all symbolism without substance. That's what it has come to. Barack Obama was symbolism without substance as it relates to African people. In fact, when you look at Libya, every time I see Libya and talk about enslaving our people and castrating brothers up there, I think about a Barack Obama.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't, like, you know, they say that they...
You're gone in and out of me, Jay. You're gone in and out of me, brother. Let me get back. I got just only a few minutes in dealing with what I say about the words that we use and that the brother does not want to use African American. I don't want to use African American. I want us to be able to say that we are Africans. I'm born here in America, so I'm an American African. If I was in Jamaica, Jamaican African. If I was in Ghana, Ghanaian African. Brazil, Brazilian. You understand? You get the picture? Africa is the noun.
Hey, actually, I'm sorry about that.
Man, you keep going in and out on me, Jay.
Yeah, man, my phone is...
Pay your bill, man. Pay your damn bill.
I'm like not a big proponent of conspiracy theories and stuff like that, man. You know, so I usually don't get too caught up in them. I just sometimes read them, listen to them, and just shake my head and laugh and just keep it moving. I mean, but it's tragic, bro. It just goes to show me when I look at it how much control the Yoruba really has over our lives and how much damage that they create. And how wicked they really are, man. You know, that's why I'm saying somebody really needs to address the black community in regards to the relationship between us and the Yoruba with our inability to accept and live up to the fact that the Yoruba is your perpetual enemy. I wish somebody would write it from a psychological perspective.
Well, that's been done. I mean, that's been proven. I mean, in one of our favorite persons, Brother Mwalimu Mubarudi has done exactly that.
Yeah, but we ain't got it, bro. We ain't. For some reason, we're not understanding it, man. Because it's like you know somebody just is able to Stockholm syndrome you. I think black people are under that condition, man, when it comes to this Yoruba, because we don't see them for who and what they truly are at no stage of the game. We try to make it seem that we do, but we really don't. And yes, it's painful, and yes, it's one of these things that's probably the hardest thing to accept, that someone that you live on the planet with has this much hatred for you and is willing to kill you at the drop of a dime.
Mm-hmm.
That's a heavy burden to face. You understand? So it's like realizing when a family member that you're extremely close to don't give a damn about you.
Right.
It's a hurtful feeling. And, you know, we as a people just haven't gotten to the point yet to where we can accept that. And until we get to that point, we're going to always be under his control. Because you got to be able at some point to break away and kill the beast.
There's no doubt about it.
We kill the beast.
There's no doubt about it, Jay. We have to be able to exercise this demon from our heart and minds. From our minds, really, from our minds, because once that is exercised from our minds, just like what did the psychedelic funkadelic Parliament Funkadelic say? Do what? Free your mind.
All sorts of things.
No, free your mind and your ass will follow, Jay. Free your mind and your ass will follow. We need to free our minds because our ass want to be here. We believe that this because. Many of our people say we fought here. We fought in every wall. We built this. This is just as much ours as it is theirs. You know, we deserve. So we have this misleadership class. So like when you just mentioned, why is it different 30 some years later? Because there was a belief in this misleadership class and a belief that somehow the brothers and sisters who got into the legislature on a city, state, and federal level could help exact and look at laws and so forth that could bring equity in the system for us. So we could honestly say that we too can truly sing America and we too can wave that nasty ass flag. See, that's what we hope for because the misleadership brought us to that. They made us believe that. And unfortunately we did. And we acted upon that. You see? You with me, Jay? Did I lose you again? Huh?
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, the whole thing is this, I think, in a way. You got to be able to separate yourself from this oppressor. And we haven't figured it out. And to be honest with you, we don't want to.
Mm-hmm. No, that's it. That's right, Jay. We don't want to because you're trained. Listen, brother, if you are bombarded 24/7, 365 with all these images, all these notions and so forth, all these beliefs that they have impacted upon you, it's going to be very difficult if you don't have your right mind, if you can't step out of the imposed boundaries that they put on us, if you cannot release that vice grip that they put on your damn mind. Hard to do. Very hard to do.
The thing that gets me is when I hear people get upset about how white people act in this country towards us and other cultures and other people, I just laugh. That's a white man's country. It's his effing right to do what he's doing. It's his right to do what he's doing. He enslaved you to build it for who? Him. He didn't enslave you to build it for you. So why should you care about it? Unfortunately, yeah, we live here and we should care about it because we would like to live. But you can't get mad at someone who's trying to protect what he perceives to be his.
Yeah.
You gotta do what? Either accept it or take it from him.
Take it from him. That's not happening. No, Jay, no. No, you either accept it or you get out of it. You can't take nothing from him. There is no sharing. You can't take it. He is armed to the damn teeth. He has multiple, numerous ways to kill you. And it may never come out that helicopter was sabotaged, whether it was or not. You may believe the story that they'll say it was fog and it was a pilot error or it was a mechanical error or whatever. My contention is it will continue to happen because that is what has always happened in their situation that benefits them. My belief.
Well, do we really care? Is that a priority to African people? How he died?
No, of course not. I said, listen, Jay, I said on Monday's program, I said, listen, if African people could be liberated, if it means that they would liberate African people if I never watch another basketball game, another football game, or whatever, boxing, whatever, if they say that African people will be liberated, African people will be sovereign, African people will determine their own destiny and control their land and their resources and their people. If you give that up, I give it up in a damn heartbeat.
I would too, brother.
In a heartbeat. Because that's what's paramount. That's what's paramount. You know, the death of Kobe Bryant.
The only thing I like right is my socks and my feet. Other than that, I don't really like nothing white.
Yeah.
I don't like white milk. I will eat white cheese. But okay. That's the only thing. That's a priority. I like my white teeth white. And I like my teeth white.
Okay, brother. Well, let me close this program out, dear brother. Thanks, brother. Thanks a lot, Jay. Appreciate you, man. Peace to you.
You too. Peace.
All right. You know, close this program out. Once again, what's in a name? What's words? Words have meaning. And if we could train our minds that when we see words that we know affect us adversely or make us think of ourselves in various ways, in the ways that we want to think about ourselves, it's hard, especially when you're bombarded 24/7. But it can be done if you have the determination. Hell, I done it. I don't use the. If you know me and you, I've never said nigga about something. Man, nigga, please. I don't do it. I never called our sisters a bitch. Man, that bitch. No, I don't do it. I'm around people that do. I don't correct them. That's them. I know what I say. I know my heart. I know my mind. I remember at a meeting back in October, they kept talking about mentors, and I made a comment about Jegna, and I explained to him who mentor was. You know, in the false story of the Odyssey, the Iliad and the Odyssey of Homer, and Odysseus, or this is giving his son over to this man named Mentor to watch over him, to help him come into manhood while he went on his journey. And realizing that because this is Greek society. Greek society with men that love men, they're statues. There are no statues. There's no paintings in ancient Kemet of men with men, women with women. There was complementarity. They understood the value of men and women forming good, strong families and bonds. And so I said, you shouldn't do that. We should use this word, Jegna, or plural, Jegnak. Jegna. It was interesting. Some laughed for it, but then I explained and others started trying to do it because you can do it. You can do it. When I see the word black, I automatically, if it's in a reference to American African people, or just like African American, I can easily flip that. I'm saying the words that we use should give us, Dr. Clark said, it should conjure up land, history, and culture. It should give you a visualization. If I say the word slave, I used to do that with my young people that I work with. I say, close your eyes and picture this. And I would say these words: welfare, thug, drug addict, no fit father, no fit mother. Tell me honestly, whose face, slave, whose face did you put on those words? Because we have been conditioned, just like it was easily to do that to us. It can be harder, but it can be done to reverse it. So when I see those words, I don't put our face on them. I may put the Europeans' face on them because those are the perpetrators of that. Brothers and sisters, this Friday will be my guest, Sister Dorothy Bess. D. Bess will join us again, and we'll talk about the Green Book. And we'll talk about Reverend Dr. Leon Sullivan, OIC, and the great work that he did. Opportunity to meet him and talk with him. In fact, it's because of OIC that I was able to be who I am today. I'll explain that. So that's this Friday, Sister D. Bess. We'll talk about, of course, with Sister D. Bess, we talk about American African history. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. Not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they shown in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bivihodie. Bivihodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, together, united, we will be victorious. Bivihodie. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Brothers and sisters, it's always an honor and pleasure. I'll see you on Fridays. Peace.